Today's first reading from Prophet Isaiah. We must listen to it very carefully because in it, it is a call to action for the people. A call for them to do as God has commanded them to do in the law. But much more than this, my brothers and sisters, it is a call for them to remember and be the people that God has made them to be. From that, from knowing who they are, right action will follow. We see that in this, God reminds them, your vindication shall go before you and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. If you're familiar at all with the Exodus story, as God has reached with power into Egypt and has drawn forth his people, this is the image of it. God sending his vindication before them and his glory coming around behind and being the rear guard. God surrounding his people, drawing them forth to make them a people after his heart. This is important, my brothers and sisters, because God saves his people so that they would be like him. He gives them the law, not to impose it upon them, to take them from slavery and then only then to return them to slavery of the law. He gives them the law so that their actions will be actions like his, that they will be, and their actions will flow forth from what he has made them to be. A people unto his own, a people after his own heart, a people like him, a people that when the Gentiles, the other nations, see their wisdom, see their actions, see their hospitality, their generosity, their kindness, their charity, they will glorify God. And they will be drawn close and desire to know this God. See, they're supposed to be a sacramental sign. In the gospel text today, we see two statements made by Jesus, and I'm glad that Jesus makes them because they're pretty bold. Two things he says in the gospel directly to his disciples. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." What happens when you're in your heart when you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Do you just say, "Bring it, I receive it"? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Doesn't our heart throw up a little bit of a protest? Yeah, Jesus, you say that, but at times I do very unsalt-like things. I do deeds that do not reveal your glory at times. My brothers and sisters, it's not our actions that make us salt. It's not our actions that make us light. It is what God has done for us. His declaration of who we are makes us who we are. He draws us into communion with him through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his Son. He draws us in intimate communion. He fills us with the Holy Spirit and with power for us to be and for us who have become, who are, to have our actions flow forth from who we are. You would never say to a married woman, "You do the actions of a wife very well. Right? You do the actions of a wife very well. Good job priesting today, Father. Your actions were very priest-like. It is not our actions that make us who we are. We enter into the covenant. We enter into the promise. We become, and our actions flow forth from it. And this is really important, my brothers and sisters, because it is clear from the readings today that we are supposed to act. We are supposed to do. But our actions and our doings are supposed to give glory to God, not to ourselves. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You know, there are other places, my brothers and sisters, in our faith in which Jesus says statements so direct, so bold, that we believe as Catholics. Now, I don't understand. I mean, I guess I don't understand because I'm a priest, but apparently they take these Pew surveys all the time and everything, and they say, well, you know, less than 50% of Catholics actually believe that the bread and the wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Well, okay, bad for them. It is our belief. Jesus says, take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life within you. Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the cup of my blood. Jesus says statements, and in his saying, he takes that which is mere bread and mere wine and transforms it and changes it radically into his very self so that he can feed his bride, the church, that he can give of his self to her. This is what we believe, is it not? This is our faith. This is what has been handed to us generation after generation after generation, back to the apostles themselves. Jesus speaks, and it is so. So if he speaks this boldly, this concretely, in order to transform a piece of bread into his very body, how much more radical the transformation when he says to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. How can we believe in one instant when he speaks so boldly and in another instant kind of dismiss him, blow it off, protest? It wells up the questions that well up in our heart. Well, you say that, Jesus, but what? But what? You know, my brothers and sisters, entering into salvation, having our sins forgiven by the waters of baptism, being filled with the Holy Spirit in confirmation, receiving and being fed at the Eucharistic table, all of these things we think about as the means for our salvation, of entering into grace. But we have to understand as well, Jesus speaks and our mind must be transformed. We cannot continue to think as we once thought. And for us who have grown up in the faith, who have been baptized as infants and have lived in it long, there comes a point when we must challenge the thoughts of our mind that have accrued over time. When Jesus speaks the truth, we must be changed. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. There are times, my brothers and sisters, when we hear something like that and we get scared. There's this false humility that pops up within us, frightened that when God calls, he declares something so beautiful about who we are. Well, if I say yes to this, if I believe this, then people will look at my actions and they will demand this of me, and I will fail because I always fail. They will look at my actions, and so rather than embrace the truth of who I have become, I will step back. This is a false humility, my brothers and sisters. Because it's not about us. If we are doing the actions of God, it is because of what He has done for us. If we are being salty, it is because Jesus has declared that we are salt. If we are being light, then it is because He has declared that we are so. I dare say, my brothers and sisters, if you are struggling to enter into the transformation that God wants to do in you, so often it is because we have not believed what He has declared us to be, who we have become in Him. This is the part. You know, so often we're like, oh, I got to change this. You go to your room, right? It's all a mess, and I got to do this, and I got to straighten this out, and I got to straighten that out, and straighten this out. The most important thing we could do is change the way we think. To change who He says we are. So often the evil one, that's all he does, is inject lies and lies and challenges about who we are in Jesus Christ. And we somehow, some way, believe him because our actions reflect that. But if we become beloved sons and daughters of God, not because of our actions, but because of what God has done for us. My brothers and sisters, we must embrace the truth of who we have become. We must change the way we think. The actions will follow. If we change the way that we think, if we receive the truth, if we dispel the darkness here within our minds about who we have become in Jesus Christ, our actions will change. If we say yes when He says, "This is who you are. This is who you have become," then our actions will flow from our identity, from our being. You won't be a wife because you do wifely things. You won't be a priest because you do priestly things. You are a wife, you are a priest, you are a husband. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I hope you understand, and I hope you receive this as a challenge, my brothers and sisters, because it is. We must change the way we think about who we have become in Jesus Christ. If we do this, the actions that flow forth, that will spring forth from who we are, will have one source. They will have one interpretation, and that will be to glorify the God who has made us who we are. In this, it cuts through any of that false humility. I am who I am because of what God has done for me. Paul declares this in the second reading. He has become who he is, and the actions that he does is not for the glorification of Paul. He comes in fear and trembling. His actions in power and in the knowledge and wisdom of Jesus Christ give glory to God. And so it shall be with us. Amen.